sing it again.
When was the love?
I know
when was the love. I know it was the love for me. One day when I was wrong, he died upon the cross.
Praise the Lord. Just lift up your hand to the Lord. We are standing tonight.
Thank you, Jesus.
Lift your hand up to the Lord tonight. We are standing. Come on, everybody, lift your hand up to the Lord tonight. Father God, we bow in this house tonight, Lord. We bow before Thee, the only King of kings and Lord of lords, the Lord Jesus Christ. We bow tonight, Lord, because Thou art the Supreme. Thou art the ruler. Thou art the one who made the heavens and the earth, and created all things that there are in. Oh God, Thou art the one that conquered death and hell.
Hallelujah.
Thou art the one that rose victorious from the grave. And Thou art He that's coming again. Hallelujah, Lord, we say. We say glory, honor, and praise be unto Thy name. We pray, God, tonight that the Holy Ghost will come in our service and speak to our hearts tonight. Oh God, cast down every thought of man tonight, every vain imagination. And let Thy name be uplifted tonight, and let it be glorified. Let it be exalted tonight, Lord. Let that quickening power that raised You from the dead and fill every one of us tonight. Baptize us afresh with the Holy Ghost and power, Lord. That we might uplift and exalt Thy name. Oh God. Father God, we'll be careful tonight. Oh Lord, Thou knowest every heart in this service tonight. Thou knowest the needs of Thy people tonight. Oh God, we pray tonight, if there's any in this house tonight, they know You not of their Savior. Let it be the night, Lord, that they'll come to the knowledge of the saving power of our Lord tonight. Oh God, quicken every heart tonight. Meet every need tonight. Heal every person that needs healing tonight in the name of Jesus. And Father, we'll be careful tonight to give You the glory, to give You the honor, and to give You the praise, for we ask it tonight in the name of the Lord Jesus. Let us sing our wee song once again, just before I read the word. Sing it again before we read the word. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I was lost, He died upon the cross. Tonight for His mercy, for His grace, hallelujah. Had to be the blood. Had to be the blood of the Lord. Couldn't be the blood of a man. Had to be the blood of the Lord Jesus. You know why? Because He had no sin. Had to be precious blood, perfect blood. Had to be His to redeem us. There was no man on the earth, either on the earth or anywhere, that could redeem us. Had to be God, had to send His Son to die on the cross to redeem us from sin. Couldn't be redemption no our way. You couldn't go in no our way Only through the blood.
Amen. Yes.
Praise God tonight.
Amen.
Want us to turn to our Bible tonight? Maybe we'll just go turn tonight to Matthew 24th chapter. And maybe I want to read a verse here. Two or three different verses I want to read tonight. But praise God tonight. Amen. Praise Him for His goodness and for His mercy. I want to read you a verse here tonight. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise God. And I think chapter 24. And let's just get the verse now. I want to read to you. I want to read from verse. We'll maybe just start back at verse 36. Chapter 24 and verse 36. And we'll read a few verses here. Praise God. We know that God will bless His word tonight to our hearts. Praise His name. Chapter 24 and verse 36 says, "But of that day knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only." Verse 37 says, "But as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man." Says, "For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marriage and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and they knew it not, until the flood came and took them all away, so shall it be also." It says, "So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be." You may be seated. May God bless His word to you tonight. I have two of the hour scriptures tonight. And I just want to speak tonight for a short while. No hiding place. No hiding place. Now you know, and I know, that it's a very familiar scripture. We hear it quoted so many times, as it was in the days of Noah. But you know something tonight? This scripture's become familiar to a whole lot of people. It's become to some people like a fairy tale. It's just become an our way of saying they say it, but they never really stop to think of the meaning of it. Now it's very important tonight, because this scripture is where the Lord, you see, was speaking to His disciples. And the disciples had asked the Lord a question: what would the signs of the coming, of the second coming of the Lord would be? And Jesus began to talk to them and to tell them. And you know, it's so easy for to sit down and to hear a word and not to hear it. But by God's grace tonight, and by the power of His Holy Spirit, would come tonight and ingrain this word in our heart. You know, they are in the day that we live in. We live in an eighth time. I believe we're living in the times before the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I believe tonight that the coming of the Lord is near. And I would also say tonight, as James said, he said, "Let your hearts be established, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh."
Amen.
And for your heart to be established tonight, you need to know God's word. And you need to know where you're at, the place you're at, and the time that you're at. If you don't know the day of the week, or if you don't know the time, if you've something laid out that has to happen on a certain day and happen at a certain time, then you must know that time and you must know that day. Or if not, you'll miss it. You know what Jesus said? Jesus said, if the good man, if he had a knew on what time the thief was going to come, he would have watched and not have suffered his house to be broken up. But you know, God doesn't want us to be like that man tonight. God wants us to be watching and waiting and expecting for the coming of the Lord.
Amen.
And you know, you've heard so much talk this last while, and You've heard talk about the European Union. Well, let me say this tonight. I'm not going to say maybe a whole lot about the European Union, but I'm going to say this to you tonight. The European Union is the Antichrist system. I've often said this. The measurements that you have on your ruler in Matrix is the Antichrist measurements. Now you might say, brother, I don't agree with you. Well, I'm not saying these things to be contrary tonight or to be different from what you think or anybody else. But I'm saying these things because I believe them tonight. Because metric measurement runs out. Now, I'm not smart enough to explain to you how it runs out, but I know that it runs out. And I know tonight that there's only one true color. And that color is white. And I know tonight that their money, that they've got their money, is the Antichrist money. And you take some of their notes that they have, and they have a bridge on it. They claim to be the bridge builder. And we know tonight that there's only one bridge builder. And the one that claims to be the builder of the bridge tonight, he sits in a place of seven hills. And he says he's instead of the Holy Ghost. There's only one that claims that tonight. And you know, someone said one time, if you handed the Bible, Revelations, and give the number of the 666, the 666, and give it to a good detective, he would tell you who it is. Would you look at this whole system tonight? This whole system tonight is geared to take you away from God, to take you away from the truths of God, as it was in the days of Noah. Now, if you really want to find out what it was like in Noah's day, you've got to go back to Genesis. When you go back to Genesis chapter 6, and you'll find out that God was sorry that ever he had made man. Boy, that's some statement, isn't it?
Yes.
That God was sorry that he ever had put man on the earth. Because his every deed and his thoughts were evil. And you look at the world system tonight, and everywhere you look at tonight, what is there? Wars and rumors of war. Men are renowned, doing great things. Look at the modern world today. Look how the emphasis they put on sport today. Now, there's nothing wrong with sport. Look the emphasis they put on the great feats that they can do. Look on the emphasis tonight that they done. And someone said the other day, I heard it on the news the other morning. I didn't really pay a whole lot of heed to it, but I just caught one bit of it. They said that someone had won, I don't know, it was 100 and some million they had won at the European lottery or something. They had won this great amount of money, and some said it was tremendous. It was marvelous. You know, I think something that was tremendous and something that was marvelous was when Jesus rose from the dead.
Amen.
That was tremendous. That was marvelous. It's the Lord's doing, and it's marvelous in our sight that Jesus Christ conquered both death and hell. Hallelujah!
Amen.
He conquered it. He is the victor over it. And you know, they talk about marvelous tonight, and they talk about this, and they talk about something else. And you know, it's so easy. So years ago, we wondered about some of the things that we maybe didn't understand. But you know, there's plenty of things tonight. And this, in this land, I'm going to say something from this pulpit tonight in this land, and I'm not making any apology for it. We lack Bible teaching today. We lack the real truths of God's word today. to many in this land tonight, what church can you go into tonight? And will you hear the truth? You'll hear part truth. Well, you know what a lie is. A lie's part truth. And you know, whenever Satan met Eve in the garden, he told her a part truth. But you know, when she heeded it, it brought death. And part truth will bring death. And I've heard it told on so many different occasions. I heard a man one time. He was a great English man. Not naming no names tonight, but let me say this. He said they were talking about Lattimore and Ridley. And when they burned Lattimore and Ridley at the stake, one man was sort of down on it a wee bit, and he was crying, and the other man said to him, "Don't be crying. Be like a man today." And he says, "We light such a candle or such a flaming angel, and it'll never go out." This man was a high-ranking Catholic, English man. You know what he said? "A wonder did they light a flame that never would go out." He told the truth, and he told it as a lie. And you, Satan's good at doing that tonight. And you want to know who's the boss of the European Union? I'll tell you straight, Satan. He's the head man. He's the boss. But you know, tonight our churches, under the denomination system, they lack the truth. But I want to say something to you tonight, and I'm not going to make any bones about it. I'm going to tell you plainly. You know, whenever John saw the Patmos vision and the Spirit of God come down, and when he heard the seven thunders uttered their voice, he was about to write. And a voice said, "Write it not. Don't write it. Seal it up." Seal it up for how long? Seal it up to the end time. Seal it up to the end time. You know something you say, "Brother, what's this to do with us?" Very important. It's to do with the way things are today and how things are tonight. It's very important. But you know, God done a great thing. He sent a prophet messenger. Now, you might never have heard this in your life before, but you're going to hear it tonight. God sent a message in this last day in which we are living, so that we would know what was in the seven thunders, so that we would know what was in the saints, so that we would have a storehouse that we could prepare when the time would come. Whenever Joseph went down into Egypt, what did God show him? When Pharaoh dreamed the dream and he saw the lean years, when he saw the animals that come out of the river and how they were fat ones and thin ones and one swallowed up the other, and how that, you know, how he went into Pharaoh and he told Pharaoh about the famine that was coming in the land. What did he say to Pharaoh to do? To make a storehouse. A storehouse. You know, God said there'd come a time when there'd be a lack of hearing the word of the Lord. You can run wherever you like and go wherever you tonight. To many places can you go tonight that you'll hear the word of the Lord? To many places can you fellowship tonight and you'll hear the word of the Lord? No, you'll hear this. It's not for today. That happened with the disciples. It doesn't happen anymore. That's not for today. Well then, is Hebrews 13:8, is it not for today? Has it changed? Did God change his mind about his word? You know, the great thing about God's word is to know this. God never changes his mind about his word.
Amen.
What he said once, he doesn't need to change it again. Some man might write a book, and some years he might come along and he might say, "You know, I'm not so sure about what I said there. I maybe made a mistake there," and he could change it. But God didn't put one thing in this book that needs to be changed. Everything that is put in this book is exactly the truth. It's so close. There's so much stuff tonight that's so close to what's real. And yet it's not real. It's wrong. And you'll hear so much talk today. They said, "Let us all have the same course. Let us all be one tonight." You know, I'm going to tell you something tonight. You know, isn't it a great thing when you read about Noah, as it was in the days of Noah, as it was in Noah's day. But you know, something wonderful took place in Noah's day. Now, the flood came and all these things, but the great thing that took place in Noah's day, Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. I'm glad tonight that I'm sure there's not one of us sitting in this house tonight, but we're glad for the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
We're glad that by grace through faith that we're saved. Not of ourselves. We can't boast about it. We can't say, oh, I was better than him, I was better than the next man. You know, I remember talking years ago to a man, and he said to me, could you tell me how you got saved? I said, I could, and I started to relate to him, and he said, you know what he said to me? He said, that's great. And I thought to myself, I said, this fellow must be a Christian too. And I said to him, what about yourself? Oh, he says, there's only one difference in me and you. And I said, what's that? He said, you were lost, fella. Oh, I said, I knew that. Nobody knew that any better than me. Said, I never was lost. I always went to church. I was brought up in church. I always went to church. Boy, dear, you could always go to church. You think it in the Bible, when the Pharisees listened to the Lord, saw the works that he done and the miracles that he done and heard the things that he done, and when they all come together and talked it over about what Jesus had done, and discuss one amongst the other, they asked one another a question. They said, has any of us believed on him? Has any of us believed on him? That's what they said. Has any of us believed on him? Why, they were glad. They were all right then. Nobody had believed on him. They were dead on. They had Moses. That was all right. Moses was all right for his time. Moses had the message for his day. He had the power of God upon him. But a greater than Moses was standing in the midst, and they didn't realize. A greater, someone said, a greater than Solomon was there. Said even Solomon in all his glory, he wasn't even arrayed like the lilies of the field. And Jesus said that no sooner is it done than they're cast into the heat and they're withered away. But he said, I say, a greater than Solomon's here. Jesus was in their midst. Wasn't it a striking thing at the woman at the well? She was an immoral woman. And how she had lived, she had five husbands, and the one that she had at the time wasn't even her husband. And how that it was she was a Samaritan. And the Jews don't have any dealings with the Samaritans. And Jesus come along and he sat down at the well, and the disciples went into the city for to buy bread. And when they come back, they were astonished that Jesus was talking to this woman at the well. And they asked the question, and he said, some of them said to him, he says, I have meat to eat that you know not how. And the woman, he said to the woman, give me a drink. And the woman looked at him and she said, how comest thou being a Jew? Ask the drink of me, being a Samaritan. For the Jews don't have any dealings with the Samaritans. What did Jesus say? Jesus said, if you knew who that was that talked to you, you would have asked a drink of me, and I would have given you living water. But she said, sir, the well is deep, and thou hast nothing to draw with. And he said back, tell her, whosoever drink of this water, they'll thirst again. But if they'll drink of the water that I give them, they'll never thirst again. You see, it's a spiritual thing. It was sort of like a thing that was hid from them. You know, man's thinking in the natural, but you've got to rise above the natural tonight and come into the spiritual realm, and you've got to discern what is spirit and what's natural. You know, the natural things are only temporal. You know what the Bible says? The Bible says the natural man can't receive spiritual things. And for you to be born again tonight, God, the Holy Ghost, needs to come. And he needs to overshadow you the same way he overshadowed Mary. And open your heart and your understanding to the truths of God's holy word. That you can receive him as your own and personal savior. You can receive him tonight by faith. If you say, I by faith I'll forsake everything and I'll take Jesus, then Jesus will meet thee. Then Jesus will save thee. You know how I know it? The Bible says it. The Bible says it shall come to pass in the last days that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Salvation is in Christ tonight. It's not in the church. You'll not get salvation. It's not in this building. It's in Jesus. It's not in any church building. It's in Jesus. The Bible says, he that hath Christ hath life, and he that doesn't have him has not life. You know, he said to the Jews, he said, as many, to them that received him, to them give he power to become the sons of God. But there it was, they rejected him. You know that woman at the well, when he told her the certain things, he says to her, go and call your husband. She says, I have no husband. Says, thou hast well said. Thou hast had five, and him whom thou hast now is not your husband. And she said, well, what did she say to him? She said, sirrah, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Boy, she was right. He was a prophet. He was that prophet. He was that great prophet. You know, if you asked a top Jewish rabbi tonight, what will the Messiah be? He says he'll be a prophet. He'll be God. That's who he is. You go to Isaiah 9 and you'll see who he is. Someone said to me not so long ago, what will be the end of this common market? What will be the end of this Brexit thing? And I said, I'll tell you. When the stone is hewn out of the mountain without hands and smites the feet, it says that them feet will become as the chaff of the summer threshing floor, and they'll not be found again. For God in them days said, when that stone was hewn out and smote them feet, it says that stone became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. You want to know something tonight? Jesus Christ is coming again. He's coming again. You know, they'll say this, they'll say that, but there's going to be no hiding place for them. Ah, but you say, brother, this and that. You lose the day how they are today. You know, we listened to a wee bit of a thing on the wireless today. And not going to name any names or anything. But one man was telling how he had received the Lord. And then they asked Father someone for to pray. And he came on and he prayed. He read from the book. There was nothing wrong with what he read. Good enough what he read. And his prayer wasn't too bad either. But you know, straight is the gate and narrow is the way. Remember that Jesus said to the man that was called to the wedding feast, when the wedding feast when he came in, he found a man in there with no garment. And he said, friend, how did you come in not having a garment? And he said to the stewards and to the ones that were over the wedding, he said, bind them hand and foot and cast them into outer darkness. You can't come in any other way. You only can come the one way. You only can come by Christ. There wasn't four doors onto the ark. There was one door onto the ark. And you know something? No one ever closed it. God closed it. He closed Noah in. It was the only place of safety. There's an ark tonight. And you can come in. You can come now while you may. You can come today. You can come tonight. You can come this moment. You can come into that ark. If you don't know who it is, I'm going to tell you. That ark is none other than the Lord Jesus. He's the only hiding place tonight. He's the only safe place tonight. There's no hiding place any place else. You know, some people will say, oh, I don't know about that. There's different ways leads to God. No, there's not different ways leads to God. For the Bible says, straight is the way. Says, straight is the gate, and narrow is the way that leadeth unto life. And few there be that find it. It's sin wide as the gate and broad as the way that leadeth to destruction, and many the be that go therein. And God wants us to know these things tonight. I want to just turn over here a moment or two. I want to read just a verse from Revelations. Praise the God. Just bear with me now. I'll get over here in Revelations. This here is a good Bible now. But sometimes you've been turning 30 pages together. It's good. It's easy to read. It's good writing. It's big writing, you see, and it's easy to read. Now I want to read you tonight from Revelations chapter 6. And I want to read from the 15th verse. Now this actually, in your Bible, if you go back and tick the seals, this is the sixth seal. And I want to read you tonight from this verse here tonight, and I want to read from Revelation chapter 6, and I want to read you verse 15. And the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bond man, and every free man, hid themselves in the dens, and in the rocks of the mountains, and said unto the mountains, unto the rocks, fall on us, and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb. Of the Lamb, for the great day of his wrath has come, and who shall be able to stand? Why, they'll try to hide in the rocks. They'll try to hide, they'll call for the rocks to fall on them, and hide them from the face of him that sits on the throne. Where will they be? Where will they be without Christ? In a lost eternity. And you know, whenever they come up, the other question was asked, what will you do with him that's called Christ? What did they say? Away with him! Crucify him! That's what they said. You know, tonight, this thing at the time, I was in, now, maybe I don't want to go say something out that's not in keeping what I'm saying, but let me say this to you tonight. I went into an establishment not far from here in Bonbridge for to get some milk for wee calves, to feed wee calves. And there was two young men, young fellas, like young lads, maybe just in their 20s. And there didn't seem to be too many about, and I asked for the milk and all, and they got me the milk, and they were talking and all. And I said to them, well, are you busy? No, we're not that busy. One fellow said, things is far too dear. We're not that busy. And I says, how's the air things going? How are they selling? And they looked at one another. Looked at one another. And they looked back at one another behind the counter. Said to me, the air things, what are you talking about? I says, the divers bottles. Are you selling, Manny? Oh, no, we don't sell divers bottles. Oh, I said, oh. I thought you were going to sail on. Why's that? Well, I said after Brexit you're not going to be able to breathe anymore, so you'll need a breathing equipment to keep you going. He said, oh. You know Elijah, whenever he went down to the prophets of Baal and he was calling down the fire at the prophet of Baal, he mocked them. And he said to him, you sure crying loud enough? He says, you know, that God, that Baal, he could be sleeping. Or I tell you what he could have done, he could have went away on a dander somewhere. Maybe if he stopped about Scarver, he could have took a wee dander into Bonbridge and he mightn't hear you cry louder. And it says they prophesied and cut their sails with lances and prophesied until the time of the evening. And then Elijah stepped forward and the fire and the power of God fell and consumed the sacrifice. You know something today, they say, oh, that was for them. Whenever I was a young fella, I asked the teacher one day a question. I said, the man that was in the tombs had cut himself and all, and the demons come out of him. I said they went into the swine and they ran violently downhill. And I said to her, where did them demons go? And she looked at me. She said, what do you mean, where did they go? She said, they went into the swine. I said, did they? But I said, where are they now? Well, she said, they don't exist anymore. Oh, I said, right. Well, you know, I was like one of these wee lads here. They probably knew, they would know as much nearly as I would know anyway. I never was a scholar at school. When I left school, all I could do was read my own name and write it, and even made mistakes in it. So it's not that I'm a very smart fella, not by any means. But let me say this, I couldn't accept that. I know that them things were still there. They had to be still there. Them demons were still there. And a prophet of God comes along in our time, and he says that the First World War and the Second World War, there's more demons released out than there was at any other time. And you know another thing he said? He said if God hadn't intervened in the First World War, there'd be no flesh left. And people say, oh, I don't know about that. Well, let me give you some facts. The First World War stopped on the 11th day. On the 11th day, at the 11th hour. And no one knew why it stopped. But it stopped. Because God said the angel stay. You know, at one place during the First World War, the angels come down and fought for the British. They don't want you to know anything about that today. They want to make it out that it's a joke today. I watched a program on TV there not so long ago, just watched it just to see what it said. And you know something tonight? They're spending millions of dollars to see if there's life out there. And they're crypting and writing messages, and they're sending messages out to see if they can contact any foreign life for to bring it back to Earth, that they may get a message back to see if there's life out there. Do you know why they're doing it? They're doing it because the smart men and the educated men of this day, which is only foolishness in the sight of God, they think that they're going to live here and go and live on another planet. You know, they said that the sea's going to come in and it's going to flood. So where there'll only be such of a country, part of a country left, the ice will melt. And whenever the ice melts, the water flood up here and flood up over there. How come if you put water in the radiator of your car and don't have any antifreeze in the fridge, that the ice swells up in the radiator and it busts the radiator? How come the water never busted it? Because it takes more room to howl ice than it does to take howl water. And you know, this morning we read a scripture this morning that before there was ever an earth or anything, God was. And you know what that God did? He said his delights was with the sons of men. Even before the earth was ever made, you were in God's thoughts in eternity, or you'd never be a Christian today. You want to know something tonight? God knows. God said to the sea, you come there and no farther. And it can't go any farther than he allowed it to go. Nothing can retain the night, only what God allows it to do. Some man said to me one day, you know, brother, he says the devil's very powerful, and you've got to be very careful what you say. He's almost as powerful as God. But he's forgot something. God created the devil. He's a created being, and he'll have an end. And if you go over into Isaiah, you read in Isaiah, where the kings and all, when they see him, they say, aren't you become weak like us? And you know it says, he'll die the death of a man that the worm is spread underneath him. You'll read it in Isaiah. Amen. He said, O Lucifer, son of the morning, how art thou fallen? You know, Lucifer didn't know who Jesus was when he came. He didn't know. He wasn't sure whether he was that one or not. He couldn't really tell. You notice the questions he asked him. You know what he said to him? If thou be the Son of God, turn these stones into bread. If thou be the Son of God. And Jesus didn't say, all right, let me show you something and turn the whole place into bread. He didn't do that. You know what he said to him? He said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. See, if again that Satan tickled him up onto the high temple and said to him, it's wrote in the word. Now, I tell you, he can quote the Bible. He knows more of the Bible than we do. Oh, you look at me. I'm telling you. He can quote it. And he can misquote it. But let me say this to you tonight. He says that, he said he took him up and he showed him, and what did he say under the temple? He says, it is written. that the angel of God will bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. Now he says, jump down from the temple here and let's see if the angels will come and carry you up. What did Jesus say? Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. You don't tempt God. You don't tempt God. He knew. He knew all things. Didn't he say, I must needs go? What was it? Through Jericho. Didn't he say, I must go up to Jerusalem, for there he says, I must be betrayed and crucified. Didn't Peter say, never so, Lord? What did he say? Get behind me, Satan. He come into the world for one purpose. He come for to go to Calvary. The prophet in Daniel said that he would be cut off in the midst of the week. And he was 3.5 years. He was cut off. He was crucified. But he rose from the dead again. You know, I don't know why you've ever heard tell. Did you ever hear a message preached by a man called Brother Branham? William Branham. It's called Recognizing the Voice of the Sign. If you get that message and you listen to that message, you know that Jesus Christ is alive today. Because when that man speaks about that things and he speaks about the voice of the sign, Moses was given 2 signs and there was a voice for the sign. Brother Branham was given 2 signs, there was a voice for the sign. And he said, if I have told you the truth, then he'll come and prove to you that I've told the truth. He'd done the same things. It was actually Jesus doing them. It wasn't really the man. It was the Lord himself. It was the Holy Ghost doing the same things. What did Jesus say? He says, I go to my Father. He says, "You shall a little while you shall see me and you'll see me no more. But he says, I shall be in the world, I'll be in you. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, the Holy Ghost come down and indwelt every one of them. And Jesus Christ was manifest in their midst by signs, wonders, and miracles. You know, when he led the disciples out to the Mount of Transfiguration and was given up, the 2 men standing in white said, this Jesus that you have seen shall come in like manner. He'll come again the same way, back to the Mount of Olives. He's coming again. There's no hiding place for these men that's outside of Christ tonight. Even we read here, it says they'll call for the rocks to fall on them. For the mountains, he says, fall and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne. And from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath has come. And who shall be able to stand? Who shall be able to stand? They wanted to call for the rocks and all for to fall upon them. Let me just go over here a wee minute or two. I have it wrote down here. Let me get over to Isaiah chapter 2. And I want to read you a verse in Isaiah chapter 2 here. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise God. Isaiah 3. And all praise the Lord tonight for his mercy. Now, I'll not keep you too long now. Praise God. Now, what was I wanted? Chapter Isaiah chapter 2. And I wanted to read you the 19th verse. And Isaiah 2 and verses 19. You know what he says here? He says, they shall go into the holes of the rocks and unto the caves of the earth for fear of the Lord and for the glory of his majesty. When he arises to shake terribly the earth, he's going to shake it before too long. They talk about global warming and they talk about all these things. There's no such thing as global warming. But there is things that's changed. And the reason they're changing, God's going to purify this earth. And the only way he's going to purify this earth, he's going to burn this earth. He's going to burn it with fire. And all their works and all their even places, it'll not matter where they built chambers under the cities at the time of the war so that they could hide from the bombs, which worked. But there's going to be no hiding from God when he pours out his wrath. There's going to be no hiding place. There's no place to hide. There's no place outside of Christ tonight. Oh, you say, I'll go all right, I'm wait till I'm older. You're taking some chance. You know what the Bible says? The Bible says now is the day of salvation. Amen. Now is the appointed time. Let me read you another scripture here. Let me read you one in chapter 3. And let me read you this. I read this here some time ago, but I want to read you this tonight. And it says here, if we go into chapter 3, Isaiah chapter 3, and we begin to read at verse 9, listen to what it says. The show of their countenance doth witness against them. Listen to this. And they declare their sin of Sodom, and they hide it not. Woe to their soul, for they have rewarded evil unto themselves. As it was in the days of Noah, marriage, given, taken in marriage 3 or 4 times, marry from their marriage, get married again, don't worry about it, go ahead, marry again, you're all right, come in, sit down in the church, oh God loves you, oh God loves you. You know, they quote a verse and they say that God so loved the world that he forgave the sins of the world. That's not right. It doesn't say that. Oh, we used to brought it down. No. It says that God so loved the world that he sent us into the world so that the world through him might be saved. And it says that God forgave the sin, not sins, the sin of the world. You know what the sin of the world was? It was the sin in the Garden of Eden. That's what the sin of the world was. And God forgive that sin. But every man tonight has to answer him for himself. God deals with the Gentiles individually. God deals with the Jews as a nation. He deals with the Gentiles individually. And God came for what to do? To forgive us our sins. God came for to give us life. And that we might have that life more abundantly. But to have that life, we must be in Christ. We must have Christ tonight. It says here, I read it to you. It says they declare their sin. What does it say? It's the sin of Sodom. And they don't hide it. Why, years ago when I was a young fellow, it was a hanging offense. Now, I'm not going to say too much for my children and stuff like that. I'm not going to start to make explanations. But let me say this tonight. It was a hanging offense. Now today we have leaders of countries and that's the way they are. And not to say a whole lot, but they'll tell you something. The government in England is full of that. And let me read you on down here something that might startle you. And it says here, verse 10 says, see you to the righteous, it shall be well with him, for he shall eat the fruit of his doings. But woe unto the wicked, it shall be ill with him. For the reward of his hand shall be given him. So you say, if you do, if you come the right road, we've no righteousness of our own tonight, but we accept his righteousness. The Bible says all our righteousness is as filthy rags, but we come tonight to him, and it's his righteousness we're depending tonight. And now we accept him as our Savior, we become part of him. We've become bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. What did he say? Except ye drink my blood and eat my flesh, ye have no part with me. Now he wasn't talking of literally eating blood, he was talking of a spiritual thing. And you can eat of it tonight, you can eat. You can be a partaker tonight with the Lord Jesus Christ. And you can receive eternal life. Life eternal. Not life for a day or a week, but eternal life. Now it says, as for my people, children are their oppressors. Isn't that so true today? Don't you touch me. I'll do what I like. You go into the store and watch some of them thin and they lie down the whole tantrum. And kicking and yelling, no, I want this, I have to have it. Boy, I would have liked to have went to the store with my dad years ago when I was a lad. You'd have got a quick clip around the lip. You wouldn't have been dancing about what you pull of the counter. You wouldn't have pulled anything more of the counter, I can tell you that. You'd have thought long and hard about it before you'd have done it. Did it do me any harm? Not one bit. You know, where is it today? No, you can't do that to me. You know, we went up one time to a school, not naming any schools or naming any names, and the teacher in the school said about one wee boy, two wee boys, they started to fight, and she reached over and she hit one wee boy. She didn't hit him, she glanced, she tripped and fell, and her hand glanced off the back of his head like as she slid in to catch the other wee boy at the fight and to pull them apart. And she said he was the quietest wee lad in the class. He said nothing to nobody, and she said I was like stuck to the ground, she said, with what he said to me. She said, I'm sorry, naming him by his name, I'm sorry, John or Joe, whatever his name was, I'm sorry. She says, I hope you are. But she says, if I thought you hit me on purpose, he says, I'll high you up, he says, before the courts. She said, I couldn't believe that I heard it. And she said, he never said nothing. High you up before the courts. You know, if we had said that to the teacher in school, you'd have hit for 20 days. Should have laid into you with a stick. I'm telling you. I mind us twice running out of school one time to follow a hunt, and we couldn't go back in for a couple of days. And then she said, come on, and I'll not pick the key into you. I tell you, they would have laid into you. You know, some people said it was overboard. No, it wasn't overboard. You know, let me tell you a wee story. You know, we had a fellow in school. He was an awful case. We're all awful cases in school. And you know, the teacher used to put me in an alibi and two sets on our own away from the rest of the class. Because we disturbed the class. Now, we didn't do anything. We didn't say any bad language or anything like that, but we couldn't. We're always doing something. We let on the desk was a tractor, and we were changing gears and scribbling her about the floor. And she said, you can't go on like that. You're going to have to put this over, and she put us over. That was dead on. Day or two after, we'd done something else, and we'd up. We got two slaps on each hand with a cane, and we're told to go and sit down. We went and we sat down. And the next thing she announced to us, she was going on holidays. And there used to be an old minister in Maharali called the Reverend Johnson. He was a Church of Ireland minister. A grand old man he was. A civil man, too. And you know, she said he'll teach this while I'm away. She's going for, I think she's away for a fortnight. And she said he'll do the teaching. And he come when he done the teaching. And while he was doing the teaching, an old lad in school, not connected was it to me and the RBI at all, we didn't do too bad. But this other fella, he done something, I don't know what he done, why he threw blotting paper, shot it on a ruler with ink on it and hit somebody on the back of the head or something. He done something like that. But the next thing your mom went up. And the teacher, she kept two blackthorn sticks that you'd use for walking sticks. She had them hanging on the wall for ornaments. They were hanging up for ornaments. So there was the cane that always hung at the side of the blackboard, but round top of it, they hooked over the board. Instead of him lifting the cane, he lifted one of these blackthorn sticks. And he gave your mom a slap in each hand. There's nobody else had to be slapped, I'm telling you. Not permission. There's no more cod in the bike. A blackthorn with all the wee things on. Well, your boy didn't know what to do. I'm telling you, he come on him in a big way. You know, today, if that happened today, a court case. What are they out of it? And it says, well, let me finish. Let me read this down here. It says, and women rule over them. It says, in my people, it says, their children are their oppressors, and women rule over them. O my people, that which lead thee, cause thee to err, and destroy the path, the way of thy path. The Lord standeth up to plead, and standeth to judge the people. They don't want any truth today. Look at the government has done, contrary to what the truth is. Contrary to what God said. No hiding place. Only one place you can come in the night. I sent to Christ. It's only one hiding place. No, we could spend a lot of time in what are these things and show you. You know, I'm only touching, I'm only saying certain things. You know, when that angel spoke and said, write them not, they'll be revealed at the end time. No, God has sent a message that has revealed these things. And these things are telling us the things that's happening today. Showing you the things that's happening today. Showing you the things that are right and the things that are wrong. You know what it says? That Satan is to go out. He's going to gather all the nations together to that battle called Armageddon. You know how he's going to gather them? He's going to gather them by lying signs and lying wonders. There's real signs tonight. There's real wonders. But there's also lying signs and lying wonders. And you say, brother, where are they? The churches is full of them. That's where they're. Why do you say that's a desperate thing to say? It's not a desperate thing. Because the Bible tells me that Satan is transformed as an angel of light. Transformed as an angel of light. Paul said, if they come and preach any other gospel than I have preached to you. And many people tonight, and many places you could go in tonight and say you heard the same gospel that Paul preached. Now listen, Paul not only didn't preach it, he also demonstrated it. Now if I brought a product in here tonight and said to you, here's water. Would you like a glass of water? If you never had water before. And I'd say to you, well now if you're warm, if you're dry, a sup or two of water, it'll really refresh you. You can take a sup or two of water, it won't do you any harm, it'll really refresh you. I'm demonstrating to you what the water can do. I'm showing you that you can take a sup of it. And when Paul come preaching, he demonstrated the gospel. And he said, when I'm gone out from amongst you, there'll come in the wolves amongst the sheep. And he says, they'll not spare the flock. But they'll bring in damnable heresies. And you go in the New Testament, you can read what some of those heresies is. Some of those heresies was forbidden to eat meat. Some of those heresies were forbidden to marry. Some of those heresies was that a man could forgive you your sins. Some of those heresies was that the bread and the wine is the literal body and blood of Jesus Christ. Some of those heresies was that a man has power to turn it. You might as well say tonight that I have power to turn this water into wine. Only one man done that. The Lord Jesus. Only one done it. The Lord. And there you taking these boys come out and they tell that there. What did the old boy say not so long ago? He said, don't go to Jesus, come to me. You know, I think it was 2007, what did the leader of the Protestant community here say he had welcomed the Pope? He said, I'm sure he'd have something great to say to us. He'd welcome him. Oh, you say, brother, that's not right to say that. Is it not? We heard what Tommy said the morning about a man said that Jesus had to go to hell, he had to get saved. You know, that's an awful, awful heresy. That's a doctrine of a devil. You know, Jesus didn't have to get saved. If he had to get saved, he couldn't save us. Jesus was the Savior. He was God manifest in the flesh to destroy the works of the devil. And you see all these heresies today. You know, I was talking to a wee Brown man not so long ago. And he was telling me that he was up at some meeting and this man was talking to him. And this man told him about some lady. I think maybe she's a Presbyterian minister. And she said if Paul come here today, she'd put him right about a few things. You know what, I'm going to tell you something. I would say if the Apostle Paul could come in this meeting tonight, and I would say if that lady was in the seat tonight when that man would stand up to speak, that woman couldn't move from where she was. And she wouldn't be able to open her mouth. Because Paul was an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ. And God was manifest through the life of Paul. You see the day. You see the way some of them are today. But that there, she shouldn't be in the pulpit. A woman's not called to preach. You know, some people, you tell them that day, oh, say, oh, yes, sir. But that's right, she's not. She's not called to preach. There's good women, godly women, women that can pray. Yes, don't misunderstand me tonight. Don't you see, you know, some man, great man, now I'm not naming no names, he called Brother Branham in. And he said to Brother Branham, I'd like to pray for you. And Brother Branham said, oh, I'm not sick, brother, I'm not ill. Well, he said, I know you're not. But he said, the things you're teaching,
He said the things you're teaching and saying about women. He said it's going to ruin your ministry. But he said, brother, the things I'm saying is right. Ah, but he says, why don't you preach to them? He says, why don't you preach to them about spiritual gifts? And Brother Branham said to him, tell me something, brother. How could I teach them algebra when they don't even know their ABCs? You look how it is today. Look at their country. Women are their leaders. You look at that old doll said over in Germany. She said, we would have to stay in the customs union. You look at the night to oppress. What is it to oppress you? It's to bring you in. You would think they won the war. I've said this before, I'll say it again. They betrayed the men that fought in both wars. They've betrayed them. I'll tell you something tonight, what they've done. They've sold their birthright for a mess of pottage. You know something tonight? You know the man, when he was found the pearl of greatest price, what did he do? He sold all he had. And he went and he purchased it. But you know tonight, let us be ready. Let us be watching. And let us be waiting for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. I'm sorry now if I've kept you too long. I've maybe went on too long. I didn't mean to keep you too long. But I hope it'll give you food for thought tonight. Cause you to think tonight. There's a hiding place tonight. It's in Christ. There's no hiding place in the world tonight. Even the rocks and the things can't hide them from the wrath of him that sits in the throne. You know what David said? David said, if I pick the wings and ascend into the heights, you're there. He said, if I go to the uttermost parts of the earth, you're there. He said, if I make my bed in hell, you're there. You can't get away from the presence of God. This is our heads. Father God, thank you tonight for thy truth. Thank thee for thy word. Oh God, Father, if there is one in this house tonight, and I know you're not, Lord, open their understanding and their heart to the truth. And God, we're not going to ask anybody tonight to raise their hand or ask anybody to stand up. But Father, we ask thee tonight. Oh God, let the Holy Spirit, that Spirit that raised you from the dead, let it deal with every one of us tonight. And let it move on every one of us tonight. Oh God, I ask myself the question tonight, am I worth it? Lord, I know I'm not. But oh Father, in thy mercy and in thy grace, we pray God, you'll keep us as the apple of thine eye. Bless every dear sister, every boy and girl, every man that's bowed in this house tonight. And Father, we'll be careful to give you the glory, the honor and praise, for we ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen and amen. May God bless you. Amen. Come. Amen.
Amen. Praise God. Let's turn to Peter's and Brother Carey. Prayers to come. Praise God. The Lord bless each one. Just to say, Brother John will be preaching Wednesday night. And then, people, Brother John, a prayer.